Acts chapter 4. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do it again, Lord, just like you said. Do it again. Acts chapter 12. Peter's been kept in prison. And in verse 12, when he had considered the thing, Peter, after being released there, standing in the street, he's out of the prison. He realizes it's not a vision. I'm really free. He considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And you can look at any one of these accounts in the Bible if you want to know how to pray or what you should pray for. You can look at any of these things and find great answers. How should we pray? We're going to turn to Luke 18. While you're doing that, I'm just going to give you a few accounts. How should we pray? Abraham came to God and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found. Who is he interceding for? Sodom. He's interceding for Sodom. How many times did he ask God? A lot. A lot. He was persistent in prayer. When I read that account, even still, I read that account and there's something in me goes, ooh, Abraham, what's God here? He's kind of decided. Stop praying. I'm wrong. Abraham was right. He knew God. Jacob. The angel said to him, let me go for the day breaketh. What did Jacob say? I will not, lest thou bless me. Moses. The people had sinned. The tablets were broken. He fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights and did eat neither bread nor drink water. I don't know how that happened. God sustained him somehow. He interceded for the wickedness of the people. The Syrophoenician woman, she came begging healing for her daughter, cast the devil out of her, followed Jesus around, followed him to his house, followed him making such a ruckus that the disciples were like, would you do what she wants or send her away or something? Enough is enough. And Jesus says, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. And the Syrophoenician woman didn't give up even then. She was basically rebuked for her persistence by the Lord. And she says, truth, Lord, you're right. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs from the master's table. And what happened? What happened? Jesus gave her her request. Jesus himself. We're going to look at that later. The garden. How about the nobleman from Capernaum? Lord, come down ere my child die. How about Jairus falling down at his feet before Jesus, saying, come. In the early church that we just read there in chapter 12. How about, well, we're going to look at him too, God willing. Elijah. How would you like to pray like Elijah? Well, only Elijah could pray like Elijah. You had to be a fiery prophet to pray like the fiery prophet. You had to be the Son of God to pray like the Son of God. But we have an example to follow. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6. I had to pick a place to somewhat park. And look briefly, I said Luke 18, didn't I? I'm sorry. Luke 18 talks about importunity in prayer. I think you've all read the account. Why is this widow going to get her petition? Because she continually comes troubling the judge. And he finally says, doesn't matter about God or man, but for my peace of mind, I'm going to give her what she wants. Now, God isn't like that with us. It's just an example to be persistent in prayer. How about our position in prayer? How we view ourselves? Two men went up into the temple to pray, verse 10. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, or like one of these dry evangelicals, or at least I'm not bound up in all the laws that are contained in those extra books, and I don't follow Joseph Smith, and I don't this, and I don't that, and I even fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. What is the purpose of prayer? Well, for that publican, it was to be justified in the sight of God. And what was going to justify him? Jesus wasn't teaching about his shed blood. He was teaching that it was the mercy of God that would justify you, not your head covering. Not our, I almost said white shirts, but not many of us wear white shirts often. We don't wear them all the time. It's not our dress either, guys. It's not our short hair, though that's good. We should keep our hair neat and trimmed up. We should keep our clothing modest and clean. Ladies, you should wear a head covering. You should dress modestly. But that does not justify you in God's eyes. His mercy justified you. Turn to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. I could say more there, but I need to move on. Jesus, the perfect example of prayer, the perfect example of how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, the perfect example of communion in prayer, taught his disciples, that's us, how to pray. The religious tradition that I grew up in, you said this prayer every Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and sometimes three or four times a day, sometimes more than that, right? It was pretty continuous. We missed the point in my tradition. The point of the Lord's Prayer wasn't so that you would have this formulatic thing to say. The reason for the Lord's Prayer was Jesus said, here's the outline. Now you fill it in with your convictions, your necessities, you fill it in with your confession, your repentance, you fill it in with what you need. But here's the basic outline. Who are you praying to? You're praying to our Father in heaven, in verse 9. And as we pray to our Father in heaven, we're going to praise His name. Hallowed or holy are you. Holy is your name, great and exalted and high. And what is it we desire of Him above all things? But that His kingdom would come. We desire His will to be done. Brothers and sisters, what is the will of God? Can you tell me? In 2 Peter chapter 3, what does it say? I would not that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we're speaking to God, when we're praying His kingdom come and His will be done, we can pray that. Lord, you want all men to come to repentance. So I ask you now, bring this city to its knees. But start in the church, because it also says, judgment must begin at the house of God. So cast out iniquity from our midst. Cast out iniquity from my life. And as you do it in me, Lord, start a revival. And as you start a revival, save those sinners that have been sitting in their pews all these years, having resisted the truth and rejected the God of heaven. And then, God, break down the doors. Knock down the walls. And save their souls. It's your will. How do you pray the Lord's Prayer? And then what do I need? But enough bread for today so that I don't steal. But not so much that I forget you. When was the last time, here we're American Christians, when was the last time that you had to pray just for a morsel of bread? It's been several years for my family. What, Shelley, 10 years maybe? Since we were looking out the front door hoping for a bag of groceries to appear. You don't have to be destitute to trust God for your daily bread. It's a matter of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. I have a need here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's not talking about what you owe down at the bank. He's talking about what you owe Him for your sin. Forgive me my sin against you, and Lord, I see that I am unrighteous. I have sinned. Don't just say, forgive me my sins, brothers and sisters. Tell Him what they are. Yes, He knows, but it's important for you to confess them. It's necessary for you to acknowledge it before God and the angels. Yes, I have transgressed God's law. This is how I have done it. Forgive me. By the blood of Jesus, cover my sin against you. And that brother or sister who has wronged me, I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord, because I want your blood to cover me. I forgive them from the bottom of my heart. Leave there thy gift and go be what? Justified with your brother? That's not what it says. Show your brother how right you are and how wrong he is. Is that what it says? It says be reconciled. And what does it take to be reconciled where a wrong has been committed? Drop. In fact, this has been a care that I've had for a long time. And what do you do with a care, Brother Dave? Cast it away. Isn't that the... violently hurl it away. Casting all your care. You take that thing and you're just done. I don't need to explain to you, brother. I'm picking on you a little bit tonight. Is that all right, brother? Is that all right? I don't need you to understand why I have felt the way that I did towards you. I can say this to you because we have no history. I don't need you to understand all of the ways that you've hurt my feelings and wronged me. What I need to do is just come to you and be able, in Christian charity, to just love you. To give you a good solid handshake, give you a good hug on the shoulders, and think, praise God for my little brother. Which one day you could be my big brother. I'm kind of a little on the lower side. That's what we need to do, to be reconciled. That's how we need to pray in our closet. Lord, forgive me, and I forgive them. Just done. Just washed away, just like you did with my sin. Just like you did with mine. I have crossed you, transgressed you, I deserve to die. Just like that one did to me. And you know what? Just like you forgive me, I forgive them. Done. There'd be peace in the home and the church if we could do that, wouldn't you? Lord, give us your grace that we might. Furthermore, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you look at this in its simplest form, forgive me for sinning and keep me from sinning. Forgive me for sinning and keep me from sinning. You know where your specific area of weakness is. Is it unbelief? Is it fear? Is it moral issues? A wandering eye, a bitter tongue, there are hundreds. As many of us as there are in this room, your besetting sin is different. But you have it. Bring it before the Lord. Forgive me, I just did it. Now keep me from doing it. We can start that way. And then end with praise again. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Talk about vain repetition. I think that there is an error in our thoughts, some of us. Those of you with a Catholic background, you may share this issue. It may be in other traditions too. But I know that we can think about vain repetition as this. Well, yesterday I asked God to save so-and-so's soul. Therefore, I have asked Him. If I ask again, then that's vain repetition. You're not going to be heard for your much speaking. It's absolutely true. But it is not vain repetition to petition God for the same thing. We just talked about importunity in prayer. That's why I did that first. We need to see, well, what is vain repetition then? In America today, vain repetition is selling itself as the silence. Vain repetition is selling itself as transcendental meditation. It is selling itself as theophostic counseling. It is selling itself as meditation. It is selling itself as inner contemplation. It's selling itself as a deeper walk. It's selling itself, get this, brothers and sisters, as the Christ life. And it's vain repetition. Because what they teach you to do is take a sacred word, empty your mind, concentrate on just that one word. It can even be the name of Jesus. And you just repeat it over and over again. All it is a mantra. You could say, and this is not blaspheming the word of God, you can say Om over and over again, Om, 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 as well as Jesus, 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 and commit the same sin. There are countless books on the market. There are seminars annually here in Omaha, there in Omaha. I doubt they have those seminars in Griswold, a little small. But they're available, and they're marketed to the evangelical Christian. And who are they marketed to but the very people that want more from the Christian life? I want to go on with God. I want deeper. I want more. I want a deeper, truer, realer prayer life. Realer is not a word, but it is tonight. I want a prayer life like that. They're appealing to the spiritual among us, deceiving us, and causing us to worship devils. Beware. That's just a warning. Vain repetition. We definitely have to beware. Lord, help me. There's more to be said on that too, but we'll leave that for now. We don't need to read the account. Just go with me in your mind to Christ's prayer in Gethsemane. How do we pray? Oftentimes we find ourselves praying like this. Long list of whatever it is, and then thy will be done. Or whatever your will is. Or as you will, or if you will. That's how we pray. And submission is good and right in prayer. I don't want to take away from that. It is necessary for you to have a heart that is willing for whatever God wills. But you cannot use it as a cop-out for faithlessness, which is often how it ends up being tied on. Well, I'm not really sure if it'll happen, and if it doesn't happen, I might get depressed, or whatever, however it works in our minds. I don't need to get into the psychology of it all. But we say, if you will, and we use it as a cover for our faithlessness. But who perished in the wilderness? They entered not in because of unbelief. And what is unbelief but faithlessness? Yes, we want to be submitted to God's will in every way. But we have to know God's will to rightly submit to it. You see, Jesus only prayed one time in His recorded life. Only one time did He ever say, but not my will, thy will be done. And why did He pray at that one time? Let's clear this up, if possible. The Gethsemane prayer. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. Yet not as I will, thy will. He was all God. He was all man. He knew His purpose. And He knew the joy that would come on the other side of the cross. But there was something in the way. This one time in all of Jesus' life, this one time, he didn't want to go through with it. This one time, the man in him, because he was all man, though he is all God, the man in him faced what he was going to face and trembled. The man in him knew God's will. This is the only time in the Bible that Jesus argued with the will of God. And he did. Now, brothers and sisters, I know it has been popularized to rail against God. Just let your emotions out. That's one of those false methods of counseling. You just tell God all your anger and you just let him have it. I don't recommend that. I recommend we follow Jesus' example. How did he come to the Father? He went a little further. First step of humility. He went a little further. And he wept. And he sweat. And he approached God with reverence. He approached God with humility and reverence. And he said, please, if it might be possible. He didn't whisper. It tells us in Hebrews that it was with strong crying and tears that he pled with God. Yet he learned obedience that day by what he suffered. Knowing fully, God's will is for me to go to that cross. Oh, I don't want to. This time, it hurts. And how did he approach God? When you want to pray God's will, know God's will. If you're going to say, not my will, thine be done, you better know what his will already is. Now, when it talks about carnal things, it tells us in James there, when you say, I'm going to go to this city or that one, I'm going to buy and sell and get gain, James says, no, rather you should say, if God will, I will go and do this or that. Yes, that's right. But that is an entirely different proposition. You're making carnal plans for carnal purposes and carnal ends. We're not guaranteed the next step, the next breath. We're not guaranteed anything. So in that case, we can say, if God will, we're going to raise puppies and budgies and dig ditches, and that's really what we're doing. That's kind of our plan so that I can come home from work. I can do extra work and come home from work. I like it. I'm not complaining. If God will, these plans will be carried forward. And I believe God will. And I'm praying as God will. He hasn't shown me any stop signs, so I don't think I'm transgressing his will. But I'm not counting any chickens, well, budgies yet. Look at the rest of the way Jesus prayed, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm on line 7 of 25. So we're not going to get done. Sometimes God says no. His no to Moses is one that we've already talked about. His no to Paul is probably the most famous. Paul, 3 times besought the Lord that the thorn of his flesh might be removed, 2 Corinthians 12. He pled with God that his thorn might be removed, and God said, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes God does say no. But wait until he says no. You keep asking until he says no. Till you're sure that's his will. It's a no. Okay, got it. I begged the last time, got a clear word from the Lord. I'm staying like I am. But until you get a clear word from the Lord, you don't submit yourself to the will of the devil. Don't do it. There are others who will leave. Let's look at some other types of prayer. We've already talked about some of them. Jacob crying for help. Moses pleading for intercession. David begging God for cleansing. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How about Solomon? Cried out to God for wisdom. What one thing would you have? Make your request. Oh, give me understanding that I could discern good from bad, that I might lead so great a people. What a prayer. How about the one that we'd all like to hear? This is a prayer that we would love to have someone pray in our presence. Tell me, what must I do to be saved? It's a good thing to pray. Those of you that have opportunity to witness to people on the street, some of us men, we may close some of our prayers or some of our preaching this way. Begin to lift up our voice and say, if God is calling you, or if you would desire to know how to be saved, call upon Him. Ask Him what you must do to be saved, and He will tell you. Because God won't deny that plea from any honest heart. So we can, with all confidence, say, He'll show you the way. Someone might just go home, having overheard that thing out of the crowd of mocking friends, lay on his bed that night and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And 30 years from now, you read in a biography that it was A.W. Tozer, because that's what happened to him. He overheard some street preacher. Hey, that street preacher, nobody knows his name. Nobody knows who that street preacher is, but most of evangelical Christianity knows who A.W. Tozer is. Do you suppose it was worth it? I'll take the street preacher's crown on that one. I loose on the Christian world A.W. Tozer by my obedience to God. Glory! Do it again, Lord. Bring up another revival preaching, soul-reaching preacher. Do it again. And forget my name. Glory! That just fires me up, in case you can't tell. Types of prayer. Abraham prayed for Ishmael. Do you remember that prayer? Ishmael was a wild man. His hand was going to be against every other. And Abraham was hearing again from God the promise that he was going to have a son. And Isaac was going to be his seed that the inheritance was going to be counted by. And Abraham cried out to God, oh, that Ishmael would walk before you. Parents, are you struggling with where a child is? How about David? He had been told by God, this child that you've had with Bathsheba is going to die. For 7 days he laid on his face in the dust, neither ate nor drank nor talked to his attendants, but pled with God for the life of the child. Now when God said no, David got up. That's submission. He knew God's will. He prayed against God's will. And when it was final, he submitted himself to God's will. He didn't get mad at God. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. We already talked about Job for his children. How about the father of the demoniac? What did he pray for? He went out of his way to get his child help. But he was struggling in himself. How did he pray to God? How did he talk to Jesus? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You got a faith problem? You can copy that prayer. Actually, you can copy every prayer in the Bible. In fact, I highly recommend it. It'll take you the rest of your life. There's prayer as worship. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. All things are created by and for you. Joel, you want to go sit with Kara? Go on. Thank you. Here's another type of prayer, and one that we should be praying every day. It's a prayer that Jesus commanded his disciples to pray. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into the harvest." When was the last time that came across your lips? When was the last time you earnestly cried out to God for laborers? If we would earnestly cry out, do you suppose he's going to answer? I believe it. Why? Because his will is that none would die, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and repent. Why aren't there more laborers, Lord? Why aren't there more prayers, preacher? I'm going to have to stop there. I believe it is God's will that we have more time to speak about prayer. We'll be waiting together for when he opens the door for that. Let us put in our minds and hearts that as we come before God in prayer, that we come with no agenda but this. This one thing, come before God in. No agenda of your own, but this. To know God's will and to seek Him for the grace to carry it out. If we'll do that, everything will change. And I mean everything. Well, let's rise to our feet and have a word of prayer. Lord, you will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. So we make our supplication to you tonight, with our hearts bowed low, the challenge before us to take our generation beyond where we have been, to not go backwards, Lord, but to go forward towards you, not to become colder in our Christian devotion, but that we might be lit white hot, flaming for you, that you might find a church, a body of believers that you can manifest yourself through, that you can show forth your glory through. You can have a church so that you can have a church, Lord, that will cry out to you, "Oh, be glorified. Be glorified, Lord." For we do know this, that you will be glorified. We do know this, that it is your will that souls be saved. We do know this, that it is your will that we have communion with you. So, Father, I ask you to restore in our hearts the O factor. To move upon us with simplicity, that we might open our lives before you and say, "Here, God, I come with but one desire, and that is to know what you want from me, and for you to give to me the grace to fulfill what you want." Do it, Lord, in each one of us tonight, and let these words not be just another message that's been heard, but let it become words to our heart by your Spirit. Set your seal upon them and bring forth life in your people because of it. Because you are God, we come to you and we make our request. In the name of your Son, Jesus, not as some talisman, not as some sacred seal that gives validity to our prayer, but because of this, we come in Jesus' name, and it's not just his name, but it is because his likeness is stamped upon us. It is because our desire is his desire. It is because what he stood for, we stand for. It is because his Spirit abides in us that you hear our prayer. Amen, Lord. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.